This is WSHU Public Radio. I'm Dan Katz. With the 2016 election over, analysts are poring over data to try to figure out what the electorate has said. In Connecticut, for instance, returns show a closer race than had been anticipated, especially in the state assembly races, where the minority Republicans gained seats in the state House of Representatives and are now tied in the Senate. WSHU's senior political reporter Abang Udama has been talking to political experts about the election results in our region, and he joins us now. Abang, was it a surprise that Republicans gained so many seats in this election?
Dan, we had anticipated that the GOP would gain some seats in the Connecticut State Assembly, but what was more remarkable was that about 40 towns in Connecticut that had voted for Barack Obama in past elections flipped to Donald Trump, while Hillary Clinton only managed to flip 9 towns that had voted for Romney 4 years ago, and those were in the wealthy parts of Fairfield County. I spoke with Sacred Heart University political science professor Gary Rose about this. Here's his opinion about why so many Connecticut towns flipped to Trump.
I would suggest that the towns that probably flipped were those that are feeling the effects of a very sluggish and lethargic economy here in the state of Connecticut. And there are many communities in the state that are feeling that. So I strongly suspect that the towns where we notice some change in voting behavior from one party to another had much to do, I think, largely with economic issues. I think that's what really motivated the change.
So it's the economy. That's the reason why Trump did better than expected in Connecticut. Does that also explain why the GOP did well in the state assembly races?
That's what Rose believes, but he feels the GOP campaign was helped by the business lobby as well. Here's what he says about that.
Much of that, I believe, had to do with really the efforts of the Connecticut Business and Industry Association, that they really poured a lot of money, over $500,000, into some of these Senate races in order to dislodge some Democratic incumbents and to try to win those seats. I would also suggest, too, that Dan Malloy, with his 24% public approval rating, probably had something to do with that race as well. I think those were very localized races. I doubt if you're going to see, you know, national issues at stake in what some of the people concern themselves with in those legislative districts. But it really was the fact that Democrats in the state were cutting benefits, cutting programs, and then there was at the same time concerns about raising taxes.
So could the GOP be on the verge of taking over the Connecticut Assembly and the governorship in the next election cycle, considering that Governor Malloy has such low approval ratings?
Actually, Rose feels that if the state Democrats make some changes, that might not be the case. Here's Rose again.
The Democrats are going to do all they can to thwart it, I think, by addressing some of their needs and concerns too out among the districts. And I think they're going to address it by certainly pushing or nominating a different candidate for governor, irrespective of what the current governor's plans are.
Okay, so how about the results on Long Island? Are there any surprises there?
Well, I had spoken with Hofstra political scientist Larry Levy before the election, so I called him back to see if the outcome was any different than he had anticipated. Here's what he told me.
There were no surprises on Long Island with respect to congressional districts. They tend to reflect, in two of the cases, the top of the ticket, where Lee Zeldin and the Suffolk Republicans went all in with Donald Trump. They made a calculation well before the election that he would run strongly there, and that's in fact what happened.
You know, Dan, one interesting thing that Levy told me is that a new power broker has emerged on Long Island as a result of this election, and that's Suffolk County GOP boss John J. Laval. Here's what Levy says.
He was one of the first major local Republican figures, and I mean around the country, to get behind Trump. He represents a very big county in the Republican world nationwide. And John J. Laval, if he plays his cards right for himself and all the constituents of Suffolk County and even Nassau, could help deliver on things that may be important.
Let's talk for a second about some of those important things. I would say transportation infrastructure would be one of those.
Yes, especially if you've ever been stuck in traffic on the LIE or any of the parkways on Long Island. And you know, Trump has been talking about putting together a massive federal infrastructure bill. Levy says Laval, being close to Trump, might help Long Island get a little bit more of those federal construction projects.
Thank you, Ebba.
Thank you, Dan.
Ebbang Udama is WSHU's senior political reporter and host of the podcast, Capitol Avenue.